All right, welcome back to Unleashed, the most legit Celtics podcast in the game, episode number 73 today. And it is June 17th, 2020. And if you've been with us for a while, if you've been with us since the start, this podcast went live on June 18th, 2019. And I don't know, I don't want to get all mushy and too thankful here, but I truly am thankful for everyone that listens, whether you are an OG and you've been listening to the streams and then made your way over to the podcast and consider yourself a member of the Unleashed Army, or if you just started listening, you know, last week, or this is your first episode. No matter what, this thing we got going, this ship that we are steering towards infinity, I guess, is awesome. I love doing it, and I love that you guys are kind of doing your part as well and being engaged and responding to the shows and whatnot, because I don't know. I just like the fact that we've sort of built something here, and we totally have. So, yeah, almost 365 days. We are 364 days in, and this podcast has surpassed what I would have thought it would have done in its first year. So I'm very excited about that, even with all of the, I don't know, all the wrenches thrown into the system here. We had coronavirus. We have everything going on in the world. It's cool to see that sports can live on even when no live sports are playing. And this is obviously a Celtics heavy and an NBA heavy podcast, and we're still kicking. We've actually grown. We've grown our audience. We've grown our followers, like listeners. We've done all that during a pandemic, during a time where sports pretty much were just canceled. So, I guess I owe all that to you guys because, I don't know. You've made it easy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I know I said I wasn't going to get all mushy-mushy and I wasn't going to get too thankful, but I just spent like a minute doing that. But again, it really is from the bottom of my heart thankful for what we've done and for your end of the bargain, because you've definitely done a great job with that as listeners. So awesome. We got episode number 73 today, and we got a decent amount to talk about. With the NBA coming back, we still have some drama now. Jason Tatum, a little bit of drama there. And then we have Marcus Smart absolutely getting shafted in the odds for Defensive Player of the Year. But before we get to that, I did want to mention the giveaway we have going on right now. And I've been pushing this like you read about or like you listen about. How about that? But this giveaway, we are giving away an official NBA jersey. We're going on fanatics.com. I'm going to buy you a jersey, no matter what team, player, throwback jersey, anything like that. You guys get to pick, and I'll ship it to you, and all expenses there covered by the show. The way to enter that, go to my Twitter page, at FGuyBoston. It is my pinned tweet. All you got to do is retweet that tweet. Follow me. Follow the podcast. All the instructions are there if you're not listening too closely. And then you just got to send me a DM of proof that you've subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And if you don't have an Apple device, if you are not an Apple Podcast listener, just DM me, say you've done the other things, and we'll figure out something you can do and substitute. But I haven't released the date of when we are going to announce the giveaway winner yet. So I'll leave that to the end of the episode. But you have the details how to enter. I suggest if you aren't entered, go and do that. So many people you messaged me, or so many of you messaged me saying, I've already done all three of these things, so can I be entered? And I'm like, yeah, it's not just new people. Or I've gotten non-Celtics fans being like, hey, like, if I win, I want a Spurs or Heat or a Magic jersey. Can I enter? I'm like, yeah, like, this isn't exclusive just to Celtics fans. Like, I want to give back. I feel grateful that this podcast has put us in a position to give back. So I'm doing that, and it's a great giveaway. Obviously, you know, hundreds of dollars of value in this giveaway, so I'm pretty pumped for that. So why don't we get into the episode now? We got the first thing we're talking about is Kyrie Irving. Like I said, then we're going to move on to Jason Tatum, and then we're going to talk about Marcus Smart and the Defensive Player of the Year odds. But starting with Kyrie Irving, I'm going to get it out there. I don't want to hear the people saying, geez, Ev, you certainly talk about Kyrie a lot. For someone that says he's not in your head, you talk about him a lot. Kyrie Irving isn't living in my head, okay? He's not rent-free in my head. If anything, he just burglarizes and breaks into my head every now and then, because I don't wake up in the morning saying, I wonder what Kyrie Irving's up to. But I do find myself many mornings going on social media, turning on the TV, going on the internet, seeing Kyrie Irving's name. So he's just forcing his way into my mind. It's not that, you know, I can't get over him, or all those Nets fans saying, like, oh, Celtics fans, you're so butthurt about Kyrie. Ugh, I don't even want to respond to those idiotic takes anymore, but we do have Kyrie Irving news. So if you hadn't heard, if you hadn't listened to the last episode, the NBA is coming back on July 31st. Now, Kyrie Irving is one of, I would say one of a handful. I know there's rumors about a bunch of players that agree with him, but the big names I know, Kyrie Irving and Avery Bradley, but we're going to focus on Kyrie. Kyrie Irving has caused a stink about that. He doesn't want it to come back. And the funny part about this, so I'll just jump right to the chase here. Kyrie Irving is saying, with all the social injustice and police brutality in the world, we should take a stand, and we shouldn't just go back to playing our sport. If you want to hear my take on all of that and everything that's going on, all the shitty stuff that's happening right now, please go listen to, I think it was 2 episodes ago, I give my whole take on that. So I don't want to divulge or dig into it too much here, but that's what Kyrie Irving's, and I'm using air quotes here for the sole listeners, that's what he is using as his excuse for why he doesn't want the NBA to come back, right? Which is fine. If that's the case, like if that's the only piece of the puzzle, I'd be like, okay, you know what? Kyrie Irving, you suck, honestly. I hate you, but you're trying to do something. You're trying to lead a movement. Fine. But come to find out, he was on, at least one call about, like, what are we going to get in the bubble in Orlando when the NBA season comes back? He was curious. He was asking those questions. He wanted to know, you know, is food paid for? And I'm making this stuff up, but he wanted to know what players were getting. So at that point, you would think, okay, that doesn't sound like a guy that's totally against coming back, right? That doesn't sound like a guy that's, you know, bullshit about the fact that the NBA is coming back amidst a, you know, a racial crisis like this. No, this guy wants to know what he's going to have on his plate in the morning for breakfast and whether or not it's paid for or whatever. So that's a little fishy. And then you come to find out, okay, well, turns out Kyrie Irving was uninvited or not invited in the first place because he's injured. So they don't want people there like that could possibly spread the pandemic or just extra bodies there. And you're like, oh, okay, so now he's uninvited. He seems a little frustrated about that. And now he says, we shouldn't go back. This is a guy that was ready to go in because he was planning on being there. If he was planning on being there, I don't see how he just flips a switch and says, no, screw this. This is a racial issue. Yikes. No, he found out that he was uninvited or not invited at all. And he threw a hissy fit. And now he's butthurt about it. And he wants to tie it to something. And he's kind of using everything that's going on in the world as an excuse. And he's kind of saying like, all right, well, you know, we're in the fast lane. I might as well hitch a ride here and try and push my agenda. And that's what drives me nuts. Because like I said, I did a whole episode about the police brutality, abuse of power, racial injustice, everything like that. And I'd kind of touched upon the fact that I hate the people that are really, you know, bogging down the message by doing all this extracurricular stuff, and they're not really peaceful protesting. They're more or less taking advantage of opportunities and whatnot. Kyrie Irving falls right into that bucket now. He's trying to push Kyrie Irving's agenda. He's not doing what's right for his race or his people or his followers or his friends. He's not doing any of that. No, Kyrie Irving's mad that he got uninvited. So now he's saying, okay, well, oh, this is a hot topic. Police brutality. That's why we shouldn't go back to the NBA. Come on now. And I don't know. It's like the boy who cried wolf, right? That's like a decent analogy here. Kyrie Irving has sort of tried to get his name in the headlines so many times in the past that now he really does have a decent point. Like, I'll say that. If these players don't want to just resume to playing basketball because they're told to, it kind of makes sense. Like, take a stand for what you believe in. Fine. I'm okay with that, Kyrie. But then I hear about, you know, you wanted to go, you were uninvited, and now you don't want anyone else to go? That's selfish to me. That is not a message of Black Lives Matter or, you know, let's solve these racial inequalities and whatnot. No, this is Kyrie Irving's mad. He's upset. He's a little salty that he can't go, and he doesn't want anyone else to get that opportunity because he can't get that opportunity. So, I don't know. And again, the boy who cried wolf. Let me get back to that. The fact that he's done so many things just to cry for attention, calling himself the next Martin Luther King, calling himself or comparing himself to Gandhi, all of these stupid things that he's done in the past now make it so when he actually has a strong message like this one or a warranted message like this one, I'll call it, no one's going to believe him. In fact, players are coming out here and saying, hey, just want everyone to know I was on the call with Kyrie Irving, but I'm okay with coming back. I know I saw Dwight Howard say it too. He's like, no, like I want to play basketball. And there's plenty of other guys that want to play basketball too. So it grinds my gears, I guess. One, his name's a hot topic, right? Obviously, he's going to do no right in my mind almost. And a lot of us bitter Celtics fans. So I'll get that out of the way. Fine. There's a little bit of bias here. But when you put the timeline together, and I'm not even good at puzzles, and I've put this puzzle together. He wanted to go. He was asking on the behalf of other players what the players were going to get. Then he gets uninvited. Now he's mad. He says they shouldn't come back at all, and now he ties it to the Black Lives Matter movement. Come on now. That is way too easy of a math equation to say, okay, I see why he doesn't want to go now, and I see why how he's trying to disguise it. So, I don't know. I mean, Kyrie, man, if you really do believe in this movement, then I wish you all the best in that case, but I just think it sucks because you're the boy who cried wolf, and you've done so many dramatic and caused drama and stirred the pot so many times before that it just stinks that no one's going to, and I shouldn't say no one, but most people aren't going to buy into this given what we have in this case and then given what you've done in the past. So sorry, man, but I don't know. I just don't buy it. It seems so non-genuine to me. And again, I'll compare him to the looters and stuff like that that I talked about a couple episodes ago. He's the type of guy that's pushing his own agenda amidst this crisis and taking away from the true message. So yeah, that's what I have to say on Kyrie. And let's move on to, we'll talk about Jason Tatum now because it has to do with coming back as well. There's been reports, and he was some New York, I don't even want to give him the shout out here because I just hope this isn't true. He's some New York writer, says that Jason Tatum is, using quotes here for the listeners, Jason Tatum is reluctant to come back to the NBA. Now, this is all stemming from the fact that he's due for a max contract, right? So there's that, and it kind of makes sense. Like, Boston fans like me are saying, please don't be true. I don't want this to be true. And then other people saying, like, this guy's a Knicks blogger. Like, obviously, he's going to shit on Tatum. Well, I don't know. I think there's more to it. I think there's a little bit more where there's smoke, there's fire. And I do kind of see Tatum's side of it, but I don't agree with it whatsoever. If Jason Tatum decides to sit out coming back this NBA season and trying to win a championship with his team when he went out pretty much on top, he was like a top five, definitely top 10 player heading into this break, right? If he decides to say, no, I'm not playing. I got a bag coming my way. I got the Brinks truck backing up. I'm not going to risk that. One, that'll say a lot about him, a lot that I don't agree with. And two, that's the type of thing that's going to follow him for his career. Whether or not you like him, whether or not you continue to support him, it's always going to be the blemish and the smudge on his record if he is 22-year-old kid saying, all right, I want the bag. I don't care about winning a championship. And that's what he'd be doing. Like, I don't care if it's his money or a lot of these guys come from situations where they never had that much money before. To me, I'm still old school in the fact that you play with your team and you try and win a ring and you put it all on the line. So I hope that's not the case. I truly hope that's not the case. I will believe it when I see it. I tweeted that out today. But there's some smoke there and there could be fire because it makes sense. He's due so much money. He's due his entire, like, life's worth, and he's going to risk it coming back? Yikes. Like, imagine if he doesn't come back, and the Celts go out in the first round of the playoffs, or hell, they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and almost get there, but they didn't have their best player because he was waiting for a bag of green to come his way. It'd be the type of thing that follows him for his career, I'll say it. And that's probably, like, the first negative thing we've ever said about Tatum on this podcast, but again, it's not a fact. It hasn't happened yet. But maybe I'm a little bit more bullish on it than most people because I've seen Celtics fans out there being like, are you kidding me? Not my Tatum. Come on, guy. Tatum's hot. He plays hot. He doesn't care about money. And it's like, well, all these guys, this is their job, and Tatum's definitely worth the money. He knows that it's coming his way, and maybe he's thinking forward. Maybe he's trying to do the more smart guaranteed decision rather than putting it all out on the line. So yikes, I just hope that isn't the case because, again, I'm old school. I want Tatum to play. I want him to grind. I want him to continue proving people wrong. I want him to continue to prove he's an absolute superstar in this league and then get his bag. Injuries aren't a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that he comes back and gets injured. It's also not a guarantee on the flip side, but I don't know. I really hope that isn't the case because that's the type of thing that's like Scottie Pippen sitting out, right? And we all saw that in The Last Dance. That's the type of thing that you don't forget about. That's the type of thing that you can have a Hall of Fame career. You can win championships. You can be awesome. But remember that time that he sat out when the Celtics came back and just abandoned his team just so he can get that bag? Yikes. I don't want that to be the case. I don't see Tatum like that. That almost aligns with when people are like, you kidding me? Tatum wants to go play in LA and be a star over there and stuff. And I'm like, where is that coming from? Well, to be honest, this is the first time He's shown like un-Celtic like characteristic, right? And he hasn't even shown it yet. It's some Knicks writer that said he's reluctant to come back. Reluctancy is not a firm, I'm not coming back. So we'll see it play out. But I did want to get the thoughts out there. Like, please don't let this be the case. Like, please don't let this be the case, because he's too much of a franchise player and a true Celtic already that this would just be a blemish on his career and the type of thing you don't forget about, unfortunately. But let's move on to another Celtic. I love that we have a few different topics, few different hot topics to talk about this episode. So let's move on to Marcus Smart. Now, I read this article on Dante Turow's website. Check him out, Dante on Deck on Twitter, host of the Chasing Banners podcast. I just guested on that show a couple episodes ago, so go check it out. Your boy was on the show. But yeah, Dante wrote the article about how Marcus Smart just continues to get disrespected. And what he was talking about was the fact that Marcus Smart is plus 10,000 to win Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis Antetokounmpo slayed the name. Giannis Antetokounmpo was minus 230. Anthony Davis was like plus 150. Rudy Gobert was like plus 2,500. And then at plus 10,000, you had Beverly, Embiid, Leonard, Marcus Smart. And then I believe there was just six others. Like, they're lumping them into that plus 10,000 grouping. That is, these guys aren't going to win it, but they deserve to be on the list. Complete spit in the face in terms of Marcus Smart. Now, maybe not for the AD, Gobert, and Giannis bid, right? Like, fine, those guys are unreal. But what I saw was a true disrespect, and I haven't really totally seen too many people saying this. But the Embiid being at the same level as Marcus Smart, hell, throw in the fact that Embiid's at the same level as Patrick Beverley and Kawhi Leonard as well. I think Joel Embiid is one of, if not the most overrated defender in the NBA. Like, I do. I think he's slow. Just because he's a big, 7-foot strong guy, like, I don't think he's a good defender. He's tall, he's beefy, he's strong, sure, but he's got slow feet, he bites on into pump fakes, he's got terrible positioning, he's stuck in mud, and this is one of those hills that I die on, so like every time I'm watching Embiid, even though I like him, like I love Embiid, but I'm always watching to be proven right that, see, that was a bad defensive play, oh, there's another one, he's an overrated defender, yada, yada, yada. So it's just kind of a spit in Marcus Smart's face to say, yeah, you're on the same level as Embiid. And it's a spit in his face to say you don't have a chance at winning this. Those plus 10,000 guys, they don't have a chance at winning this. Giannis at minus 230 or whatever, like, who do you think's going to win? And it drives me nuts because Giannis on that list, actually in the NBA, screw the list for a second, Marcus Smart is the most unique defender in the league. And hell, I'd put him up there with unique defender all time. One of the most unique defenders all time. He is not just a guy that, okay, let me cover my man and make sure he doesn't score. Marcus Smart is so much more than that. He covers the arena all at the same time. It's like he covers everyone on the floor, and he's a defensive general out there and communicating. Marcus Smart makes plays. He is a defensive playmaker, which is so rare. And I kind of want to draw this sort of comparison here. Stick with me for a second. When they were both on the Celtics, Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart, right? Avery Bradley was probably the best on-ball defender, and he might be a better on-ball defender than Marcus Smart, but that's what he is, an on-ball defender. You know, someone's dribbling the ball, a point guard. Avery Bradley is in his grill. He's not letting him go side to side. He is stopping him in his tracks. Marcus Smart can do that too, but what Marcus Smart also does is three passes away, ready to take the charge, getting the ball back, just ripping it out of guys' hands. Like, he's a defensive playmaker, and very rarely do you see a direct equation, a direct result of a defensive play result in a bucket. And I know, oh, defense results in offense. Bullshit. No, I'm talking about an actual just like steal resulting in an offensive 2 points, not like a big time defensive stop and then a 20-second offensive possession that results in a bucket. I'm talking about a couple of years ago when they're playing the Rockets, right? I think it was around Christmas time. Marcus Smart's covering James Harden. The Celtics are down. They need buckets, but it looks like it's, you know, the game's gone. James Harden's getting the inbounds pass. Marcus Smart, two plays in a row, draws an offensive foul from James Harden before the ball is even inbounded. Let me read the list of guys that can do something like that. Never mind doing it twice in a row in a crunch time situation. I'm going to pull out the list here. Wow, that list is pretty short. That list, there's one name on it, Marcus Smart. Defensive playmaker. And I feel like people forget that. I feel like they think, oh boy, I wouldn't want to be covered by Marcus Smart. That's like not even at the top of his list of defensive ability. Marcus Smart's the perfect guy where all of a sudden he comes over for a double team and they force a spin into him. And then within seconds, boom, he he's stealing the ball, or he's diving for a ball and tapping it off someone's shoe like he did against the Clippers, and it goes out of bounds, resulting in an offensive possession for the Celtics. He somehow makes plays on defense. He doesn't just stop offensive plays on defense, which it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. You know, Giannis, AD, Rudy Gobert, they're amazing defensive players, the best in the league, but they aren't as three-dimensional as Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is like 99-dimensional. So there's disrespect. I'm with Dante on this one. There is disrespect coming Marcus Smart's way because, sure, he's a guard, and, you know, guards rarely win Defensive Player of the Year. But to put him in the grouping of, yeah, this guy's not winning it, the plus 10,000 grouping, those are guys that just, you know, hey, we'll put them on the list, but no way they're winning it. That's just a disrespect. That is Marcus Smart staring down Vegas, and then all of a sudden a big loogie just goes right in his face, because I don't think he's any, you know, any worse of a defender than Giannis, AD, Rudy Gobert. Maybe they might be bigger names, but damn. I mean, in all fairness, Rudy Gobert pretty much shut down the whole league, so maybe he's the only one that we can say is justified. But no, in real talk here, it is disrespect, because I think you got two things. Him being in the list of guys that aren't going to win, and then being on the list tied with Joel Embiid, is an absolute slap in the face. And I think if you're a true Kawhi fan or a Patrick Beverley fan, you should feel the same way. Joel Embiid is so much lower on my defensive player list than any of those names. Beverley, Kawhi, Smart. Like, seriously. And I don't know. Like I said, that Embiid take, that's a hill I'll die on. I've said it for a while now. I've probably said it on this show, but now Marcus Smart's thrown into the mix, and it fires me up just a little bit more. But either way, it is what it is. He's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, even though in my mind he definitely deserves it. And you can't just keep giving it to the big shot blocker, even though it's a flashy play. But these guys are mainly jumping up and swatting the ball so far out of bounds that the other team still gets the ball back. So I don't know. Maybe it's my bias of Celtics fan, but that's my story, and I am sticking to it. So that'll do it for the content of the show. I do want to give some more of the giveaway details here. So, like I said in the start of the show, this giveaway is big for me, guys, just in terms of appreciating the fact that we're in a position where I think it's, you know, mutually beneficial for us to have an expense like that, have hundreds of dollars going out to one person, and really giving back to you guys, the Unleashed Army. So I do want to say again, and I know I harped on at the beginning of this episode, thank you if you have joined. Thank you even if you've just listened and you're not interested in the giveaway. Big time thank you episode. But I want to give the date of when this giveaway is going to be announced. And I haven't made that clear yet. I've kind of kept you on pins and needles. But this giveaway will be announced on Twitter on July 1st, 2020. So it gives people enough time to still join. I've gotten so many messages. Hey, is the giveaway over yet? Like, can I still join? It's like, this is a big enough deal to me that I didn't want to say, hey, I'm going to do a giveaway for a day. I want to get as many people involved as possible and then essentially give the most amount of people I can the opportunity to, or give back to the most amount of people I can, give them that opportunity. So thank you guys if you have joined. I'll just hash it out one more time. All you have to do, go to my Twitter, EvGuyBoston on Twitter. My pinned tweet, all you got to do is retweet that tweet and then click the picture. It's the instructions. Follow me, follow Ev Unleashed, which is the show's Twitter, and then just subscribe on iTunes and send me that DM with a screenshot showing that you subscribed. If you don't have an Apple, if you don't have an iPhone, if you don't have an Apple product and you don't listen to your podcast on Apple, just message me. We'll figure something else out based on the devices you have kind of in substitution for that. But that'll do it for episode number 73. I can't believe it's been a year, guys. It's been a year. And funnily enough, I didn't even make the connection, but shit, we might as well just call this like the 1 year anniversary giveaway, because it's the biggest giveaway we've done. And I don't know, it's monumental to me. And one thing I'll always say, and I know I'm rambling here, give me two more seconds. The great thing is that I told you guys from episode one, this is going to be a multiple times a week on average show. I don't want to just do the weekly show. There's more to talk about than that. There's more to talk about than just reacting to games, which we sure have shit shown since games have shut down. We've stayed consistent with this show. But there's 52 weeks in a year, right? This is episode number 73, and we're not even at the full year mark yet. We did it. We did it, and I'm glad that we did. I'm really, really pumped to see where this show's going. I'm very excited. I love jumping on here, talking with you guys, and I've gotten the messages from you guys. We will get back to some of these live shows. I know that that's an off-season thing that we did, and this has technically been a mini off-season, but we'll get back to it. I love doing those live shows. Obviously, the live streams after Celtics games are completely separate, but the weekly live shows for this show as well. I'm pretty pumped to get back to you. So guys, I just want to say one more time, thank you very much. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and like the video and comment down below what you think of Tatum. Do you really think he's going to do this? Do you think he's going to sit out just for the bag? And then if you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere else that you listen to the podcast, consider checking out the video version so you can see some of my animation and whatnot. But if you do exclusively just listen, please make sure you subscribe on iTunes, rating and reviewing. Same thing on Spotify. Follow along, Google Podcast, everywhere else, guys. You've done your part so far. I've continued to do mine, and this has been an awesome community that we've built. Unleashed Army to the moon. I'll catch you in the next episode.